This is a great day, in spite of the ills, the problems of our country, to still say thank you, Lord, for our country. We're thankful to God today for the privilege of being an American. You know, my son, every year, what he does, he says, Dad, he says, are you going to deliver your State of the Union address again today? Usually it seemed like once a year, this time of the year, it's a good opportunity to not only reflect upon the blessings that we've enjoyed down through the years in terms of our country because of the sacrifice that multitudes of young people have made in foreign wars that we might be free today. But it's also a good time of the year for us to reflect upon where we are as a country and pray and hope and trust that God will somehow, some way, do what's needed today in our land. I want to read a passage of Scripture today found in Judges. Judges chapter number 8 and verse number 34. I want to read one verse this morning. I want to use the thought today for my quote-unquote State of the Union message. We're going to call it the maintenance of freedom. The maintenance of freedom. Verse number 34 says, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Let's pray. Father, bless now the remaining part of this service. We ask you today, your hand will be upon us and meet needs today represented by each person that is here. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. You know, Israel, in the days of the judges, tragically repeated a sin cycle that brought them bondage time and time again. They failed to maintain a glorious 40-year period of freedom. It appears that their attachment was more to personality than to principle. The Bible tells us that they turned to idols when Gideon was dead. You know, the 4th of July is about celebration of the freedom of our country. We're reminded of the independence secured from England as a result of the victory in the American Revolution. We celebrate a time when America is facing its greatest crisis. We are at war with Islamic extremists whose goal is to conquer and to subject us to a form of law which would strip us of our freedoms. We also are being conquered, unfortunately, by many of our own political elites who are seeking to dismantle our Constitution, which is our charter for the constitutional republic envisioned by our founders. The irony is that the band plays while Rome burns. The tragedy of our fourth celebration is that we are more consumed with celebrations than appropriate maintenance. America needs to be on its knees in repentance. Benjamin Franklin, 1787, stated that the newly formed government was a republic if we could keep it. It appears that we're losing it. Our interest lies more in parties, games, and celebration than thoughtful and prayerful maintenance. We're losing our republic because we don't care. We're like Israel. When Gideon died, they remembered not the Lord who delivered them. All nations are wise to study history, to learn from history, and not to repeat the mistakes of history. Idolatry had proven to be a fatal time, time and time again in the history of Israel, but yet they kept repeating the same mistakes over and over again. And a time and time again, they had to endure bondage. Maintenance failure shows up with every election cycle. As America remains uninformed, unconcerned, and unwilling to vote in accordance to the candidate's credentials more than the candidate's party. A good politician by the name of Tom Tancredo, congressman from Colorado, had it right when he said, "When I took the oath of office, it wasn't to my party or the president. It was to the Constitution. The people in Gideon's day enjoyed 40 years of freedom from the Midianite oppression and threat. They repeated their sin cycle, reverted back to sinful lifestyles that would bring bondage again, for they again returned to idol worship. They failed to maintain their freedom. They had cried to the Lord in tough times, but lost their cry when times become good. They went back to the same old self-destruct practices that brought them bondage in the first place. I'm reminded of where we are as a nation on this, the 4th of July. It is as though we're brain dead. By the way, we court the very things that bring bondage to a nation. America seems, or needs rather, to wake up and understand that liberty is not maintained by fireworks celebration, by hot dog cookouts, but rather by maintenance of that which brought us liberty. American history verifies that the prominence of our country and blessings of God came from the adherence to the core values related to our Judeo-Christian beginning. Gideon was not a self-made man, for one that God uses is not a self-made man, but a God-made man. He was designated by the Lord as a mighty man of valor, but it was God that gave him that distinction. We see the Lord raising him up out of obscurity, touching his life, calling him out for a specific task, using him in a great way and giving the land peace for 40 years. Gideon was an ordinary man that was enabled to do extraordinary things. The victory over the Midianites was of the Lord. It was of the Lord that called Gideon. It was God that equipped Gideon. It was God that instructed Gideon. It was God that assured him of victory, and it was God that led him to victory. Gideon, in and of himself, was an ordinary man. Where do we meet him? He is not discovered while holding a political office or after receiving a Medal of Honor for military exploits. He's not distinguished as a man of inheritance, as a man of wealth, as a man of intelligence or popularity. He didn't make his debut on a television screen or due to an enterprise or invention. We discover him for the first time threshing wheat while hiding from the Midianites. The key to his greatness was not his manner of personality, but rather the movement of God upon his life. God recognized him not on the basis of how he found him, but of what he would make him to become. God would prepare him to be the mighty man of valor. Down through the ages of time, God has raised up ordinary people to do extraordinary things. It is not so much him calling the equipped as him equipping the called. And I would drop that point out this morning for special significance. It's not the fact of God calling the equipped, but God equipping those that are called. When it comes to the matter of salvation, we're not saved because we're good. We're saved because we're bad. When it comes to the matter of serving God, we don't serve God with our ability, our strength. We serve Him because of the grace and ability that He gives us. We see that exemplified in the life of Gideon. History records the many instances of the Lord making extraordinary people out of ordinary people. One such example was a man by the name of Martin Luther, who refused to follow the dictates of the establishment church. He boldly nailed his 95 theses to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, and God used him to launch the Great Reformation. The people of England recently voted to leave the European Union. Their decision resulted in repercussions from the liberal politicians and press. Those brave people are willing to risk some financial security because they know the sweet taste of freedom, and they value the sovereign right to rule themselves over being controlled by a combined European government. They also are taking serious the need of controlling their borders. controlling their borders from the bad people that could potentially come in. Listen to me this morning. National security should be the number one priority of any government. It is not by accident that a United States president assumes the role of commander-in-chief. The president's main function is to protect the country. When any religion, now listen to me, when any religion or sectarian group advocates anti-American sentiments, they should be profiled, for the security of the country is potentially threatened. Even a religion, listen to me, even a religion shouldn't be given a pass if it becomes anti-American. Politicians who are anti-Constitution are actually treasonous. They're actually treasonous. We, this morning in this building, that served in the military, remember this oath, the enlistment oath. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. We remember that oath, don't we? Our politicians vowed to defend the Constitution when they took office. Politicians should be held to the same standards as military members. I would be sent to Leavenworth for crimes of treason as a military member while corrupt politicians get by with treason. Some of our politicians make Benedict Arnold a hero. How can America, now think with me for just a moment, how can America have running for a president, a man who is a known socialist, espousing beliefs contrary to our Constitution, and supporting an ideology adhered to by the enemies of our country? Far too many love America only for selfish reasons. Too many view government as Santa Claus, providing free Obama phones. Everyone wants a good economy. Everyone wants a good job. However, listen to me, these things are less important if we're dead or slaves to despots. Unfortunately, we're being led by power-hungry mongrels that have sold out to the gods of power, fame, and fortune, and could care less about the real needs of our country. We also have running for president a person that has taken millions of dollars from Muslim countries that have Sharia law. This brand of Islam, by the way, is against our constitutional government and considers all of us infidels worthy of death. Sharia law would mean the death sentence of all of us unless we convert to Islam, and that includes the politicians that support them. Where is outrage over our current president going on an apology tour and trashing his own country in the presence of world leaders? Why are thinking people not connecting the dots when he refuses to say Muslim extremist terrorist and a few years ago bowed his knees to the Prince of Saudi Arabia, a Sunni country that has Sharia law and, by the way, gave us some invited guests in an event known as 9/11. America, unfortunately, seems more interested in the new rather than the good. Ponder that. The new rather than the good. We must appoint our first black president or our first female president. But here's the point. Being first has not the same priority as being qualified. It's one thing to be first, but it's another thing to be qualified. For many now, gender is a higher presidential qualification than character. These are amazing times, aren't they? When we can recall an American president impeached over Watergate. Impeached over Watergate. And then we consider the candidate currently for the office of president who is under indictment for similar crimes. This current candidate betrayed our ambassador and military members in Benghazi. And all military people know that we do not leave our people behind. And I wonder today how a person such as that could get one vote from an American. My friend, these are critical times. God told Gideon to get rid of the idolatry. He was to get rid of Baal worship. You can't serve God in idols, you see. Gideon would be called upon the face of formidable enemies. The odds were stacked against him. His small army looked pathetic in human eyes. However, manpower is no substitute for God's power, is it? He was outnumbered 4-1 by the Midianites, but still had the right resources for victory. When you read this account, Gideon thought he didn't have enough manpower, but God essentially told him he had too many men power. You remember now, 32,000 showed up initially, but they were whittled down to 300. Now, why the reduction? Why the reduction? I believe that Paul gave the answer, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1:29. You see, Israel might be tempted to think they had delivered themselves. It's interesting to find that the... Now, here's something that's very, very interesting. It's interesting to find this out. To find out that the ones lapping water like dogs would be the ones chosen to fight. Now, the historian Josephus had an interesting take on that. I think he could have been right. He said this. He said that, you know, sometimes we think of those that got down like a dog and lapped water. We're saying, well, they're vigilant because they're only half concerned in drinking and they've got to keep their eye out for the enemy. So in other words, they're vigilant and they're the people that we need, that God wanted Gideon to have as his troops for battle. But now Josephus said this, and there could be a lot of merit to what Josephus said. He was a church historian. He said the lappers were the most fearful, though, because the enemy was 4 miles away. 4 miles away, so why were they still drinking while looking if the enemy's 4 miles away? But there's another moral to that story. And that's the moral that I like. I'm glad that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. I'm glad that God takes the nobodies and makes them to somebody. I'm glad God takes the person that has no resources within themselves. And God blesses and uses a person who's a most unlikely candidate. So God could accomplish more with 300 that knew that their help had to come from God than 32,000 who were pumped up thinking all their military army would get, armor would get the job done. You know, Gideon was an unusual servant who rendered undivided service and resorted to unconventional strategy. Who ever heard of going to war with trumpets, pitchers, and lamps? While they're at that nighttime, when they begin to break those pitchers and make that racket, the enemy thought they were outnumbered. The enemy got confused, and as the biblical account verifies, they got defeated. It was God who gave the power for the victory. Israel, coming back to my point, Israel failed to maintain its freedom and liberty. Israel learned nothing from history. It repeated the sin cycle over and over again and consequently reaped punishment for their sin. The people were more attached to a person than principle. You say, how can it be? When Gideon died, the people went back to idolatry. They were more attached to a person than to principle. I bring this back to bear on our application. The liberty and freedom of our country is not simply to be celebrated, but it's to be maintained. Allegiance to core beliefs is more important than allegiance to a politician or party. This is certainly applicable in the spiritual realm, isn't it? What motivates us spiritually? Salvation and the love of Christ should motivate our actions. When Gideon died, the people went back to their idols. The people failed in their devotion to the one that Gideon served. They were more attached to the man than to God. They would again lose their freedom due to the failure of maintenance of that freedom. I think of one of the greatest patriarchs who ever lived, Patrick Henry. Here's what he said. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Now America, in spite of what its critics may say, is still found upon core basic principles, one nation under God. We also were established as a constitutional republic. And government was meant to serve, not control. You see, listen. The founders never intended that America be a democracy, but a constitutional republic. Let's not forget that. Government is not to control. Government is to serve. In order that we maintain our freedom, we must oppose government control and all candidates who subvert our freedoms through bigger government. Any good politician understands they represent a cause greater than themselves. The core principles which make this country great are far more important than the political positions by the candidates. Tom Tancredo, again I quote, when I took the office, oath of office, it wasn't to my party or to the president. It was to the Constitution. Now, today, as we close, as I end my thoughts, and again, you know, I only do this once a year, so bear with me. Be patient with me. We know from the history of nations that governments come and governments go. We know that. We know that human governments come, human governments go. And oftentimes, governments normally run amok. I'm talking about human governments. They run amok. But you know what? We love our country. And we desire that our kids and our grandkids enjoy what we've enjoyed. We desire that churches remain open to gospel preaching as long as possible. We want those who died for freedom to not have died in vain. I speak of one who gave 28 years of my life for this country that I love. And I mean it when I say I'd go off to war again if I had to. I speak also as a gospel preacher. I'm grateful to be an American. I'm grateful too for an American church and an American preacher who preached a gospel message that resulted in my salvation. Religious freedoms here is what made that happen. I also grieve that our country has turned its back on the one that made our blessings possible. I grieve that America also repeats the same old deadly sin cycle that historically has brought other empires down. America sins today in the face of a history book. America sins worst of all in the face of the Bible. We are destined to pay for our sinful mistakes unless there's a repentance and faith towards God. God will not bless us as a nation. A verse says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach for any people. That verse still applies. That principle still applies. We believe, we understand, that all inferior human governments will eventually be replaced with a perfect theocracy where God rules upon this earth. And we thank God for that blessed hope, don't we? But my friend, today, when we talk about the rule of God, it must begin in our hearts. It must begin with what is called salvation. It must begin with what it means to be born again when Christ comes in and rules within our hearts. Yes, I'm upset today in the direction that my country is going. And I have a right to voice my concerns because at least the last time I checked is fastly fleeing. We still have freedom of speech. And I may be a gospel preacher, but I'm also a patriot. And I know what it is to see people give their lives for this country. And I do not take that in vain. And I don't say what I said this morning all the time, but I think the 4th of July is a good time for us that know the Lord to stand up and remind every single one of us that the 4th of July must be more than simply celebrated. It must be maintained. We can celebrate and celebrate and have party after party and have our cookouts and family time and celebrate the 4th of July. But my friend, unless America gets serious about maintenance, we're losing. We are losing our country. And that grieves me. We're losing it. Let's pray. Father, today, if there's someone here that does not know the Lord, I pray they will be saved. I pray today that all of us that know the Lord as American citizens will be informed, will think, will ponder, will be responsible, and will do what good American citizens need to do. Help us, Lord. Help us. May we be wise at the voting booths. Help us, Lord, to pray for our leaders. Help us, Lord, to do right. Heads are bowed.